This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Second hour here. We have plenty of time if you want to join the show. We've been talking mostly about people's finances and the stress levels that Americans are experiencing about it. And I'm sure some people around the world, because it's not just Americans that are experiencing inflation. It's not hyperinflation yet, but in some places of the world it is. Argentina is over 100% inflation in the last year. So it could be coming here at some point. When? Well, we don't know. What can you do? Well, there's some ideas. Bonnie's going to share with us an article from Foundation for Economic Education about six ideas, I think, six concepts, financial concepts.
Six tips or something that he would give his 18-year-old self.
If he could do it all over again.
Yep.
So we can talk about that. And a lot of these ideas, I mean, I have not seen this article yet, but I'm just going to guess that a lot of them, it's still never too late to implement. So even if you're 30 or 40 or whatever years old, then you know it's not too late to all of a sudden get some financial intellect and some financial experience. So we'll get into that coming up here. But Ricky is on the line. Ricky, you were hearkening back to a call last week where we conference called you with another caller, and you and this other caller, who calls himself The Situation, had a conversation in that you asked The Situation some questions about himself regarding his beliefs about war, and you were recalling that for us. So what about
it? Right. Well, and this will make a lot of sense when I say what he said when he called back in. He broke the one call rule. I asked him simply his stance on war, and his answer was, you know, when you got people, you know, basically trying to, you know, and he even harkened back to World War II, and he said, you got your Hitlers and you got your Ruskies. Somebody needs to show them who's boss. Now, I gave my answer to that.
Mm-hmm.
I said, my answer to this was, I'm anti-war. And then I said, there's only two exceptions. One, defense in the form of war pact. But then second, you got the thing called alliances. And I said, when you have someone trying to control Europe, okay, I understand that. That doesn't mean I agree with it. And I pointed out Jefferson said trade with everyone, alliance and no one. Now, here's what happened when he called back in. This is what disturbed me. He goes, first he says, I'm anti-war.
He said you were anti-war or he was anti-war?
No, he said that. He said that he was.
Okay.
And he said, and he mentioned Ukraine.
Uh-huh.
You know, that I found really interesting. Then he went, oh, and then this guy calls in, go, blah, blah, blah. Okay, that really disturbed me, and that was on the air, and you broke the one rule, night rule for that. You know what I mean?
I don't remember breaking that rule. Normally, if somebody
calls allowed him to call back in to talk to Ricky. Didn't you?
I don't know.
It's hard to talk about something that happened a week ago.
I don't remember everything.
What is the point of you doing all this recap? I mean, it sounds like recap is relatively accurate to what he said, in that he did say that he supported, invading some sort of dictator or whatever, some Hitler, which is obviously not a person who is truly anti-war. And I think you were calling him out for that. Is that what you're trying to do?
Well, I'm pointing out that he called back in then, and he actually pointed out Ukraine because he obviously realized what I was referring to. And then he says, oh, I'm anti-war and I'm against the war in Ukraine to counteract what I said about alliances. And I thought that was really pathetic on the air.
I don't get it. If he's anti-war, of course he would be against the war in Ukraine. I don't really understand what's so pathetic or bad about him saying
that. Well, the Ruskies are the main thing with us, remember? You know what I mean? Use the word Ruskies. What kind of language is that? That's what the Ukraine's all about. You know?
I must have blacked out that call as well if I was here.
You know what I mean? That it found very.
But is that your point of the show? Is that your point of this call, Ricky? Is to just recollect the previous call?
Well, I think it's.
What are you bringing to the table that's new?
Well, what's new?
You don't even know.
Well, I don't have time for that.
All right, well, call another night. Bring something new to the table, Ricky. Like it gets.
I got a
It gets tiresome. Thank you for the call tonight. It gets tiresome.
I don't even know what his point was. He was just He just thought it was interesting.
Yeah, he wanted to talk about something that happened a week ago.
I'm anti-war. I'm also against the war in Ukraine as far as, like, I don't think that anyone should be getting involved who isn't already involved in. I don't understand what's. There's nothing contradictory about those statements. I don't believe that in war, and I don't think
well,
we
you
should
can't
be involved
be anti-war
in war. Ukraine.
You can't be anti-war if you want to go and send troops in to invade other bad guys around
he
the world.
He wants to. So the situation wants to send troops to Ukraine?
Because
that's
know
not
about
what
Ukraine.
I understood from Ricky at
That's
all.
Not what Ricky said, but he did say that he supported like going after a Hitler or
Ricky
something.
Ricky said that situation said that?
No, the situation, I believe, did say.
Well,
Ricky's
yeah,
recollection was correct about that.
That's
so
obviously anti-war. I just don't understand where Ukraine
no,
came
that's
in
pro-war.
Or what.
That would be pro-war.
Sorry, that's what I meant to say. That's obviously contrary to his statement
right.
of being anti-war,
right.
but I don't understand why Ricky brought up Ukraine. It's like, okay, well, he agreed with you on a topic. Why is this so interesting a week later?
The number is 603-283-6160. I can't imagine sitting there and thinking for a week on something that somebody's... I don't even remember what happened the last time I was on the show, let alone, you know, an entire week ago. So we're talking about finances, and I want to continue with that discussion here, but let's go to this caller. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Hi, everybody. This is Gigi from Charleston.
Gigi, you're on the air.
Hello.
Good evening, everyone. I was thinking out loud to myself, millions and millions of people around the world were watching a 75-year-old man simply change hats. Ha, ha, ha.
Oh, you're talking about the coronation.
Well, millions and millions of British hardworking men and women are struggling to put food on the table.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Are on strike who work for the rail system throughout the British Isles and who are struggling financially to pay utility bills. But this man spent gazillions and gazillions of dollars simply to wear a new hat. What do you think of that?
I think you've pretty much summed it up, but Bonnie, I don't think you've had a chance to comment on this.
The British crowd, I think it's the most sad part about it is that this man truly believes that he has a divine right to rule over these other people. He believes that.
I love how you think, my dear.
Thank you. I just think it's really crazy that that even still goes on in this world.
Can you believe it? In the 21st century.
Yes,
Henry VIII
I can.
Lives on.
It's sad, but it is true. In the 21st century, and I think this is the point, similar to the point I made on Saturday night about this.
Yes,
is,
Saturday night you did. Yes,
yeah,
sir.
It's like it's just an example of how far from like modern
reality.
People actually are. Yeah.
Well,
right.
And the other thing is, it's weird that anyone still takes it for granted. Like, my own mom, she really liked Princess Diana, and she said, Princess Diana is the one that should be queen today. And I was like, nobody should be queen for one thing, and for another thing, why would you want her to still be married to that terrible old bastard
25 years? I told that to my husband.
Wow.
I love how you think, my dear. I told that to my husband. Camilla the whore stands next to the man with the new hat.
Yep.
Thank you, Gigi.
Like
any other comments you want to share about this?
I beg your pardon?
Any other comments you want to share about it?
No, you know I love the program.
Thank you, Gigi.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. I definitely appreciate hearing from you tonight. The number is 603-283-6160. We got Slice Holmes in the chat room. Who says every caller is 60 plus? Ricky, Sarah, Gigi, Major Payne. He says geriatric call live. You know, I gotta wonder. It's not just because we have older people listening. I mean, obviously people on the radio are older, but you know, they do say about younger people that they don't like talking on the phone. So I don't know if that is like the death knell for talk radio, but that's like one of those things they say about millennials is they prefer to text. And I don't know if that's as true with Gen Z as it is with millennials, but they don't like answering the phone. They don't like making outgoing phone calls. They prefer to text. So maybe that's a factor. I don't know. The number here is 603-283-6160. If you want to join our chat server, as Slice Holmes has done, you can go to chat.freetalklive.com. You can get the step-by-step instructions on how you can go and interact there. It's hard for us to follow everything that goes on in the chat room while you're doing an actual broadcast radio show and you got airtime to fill.
And as far as the Geriatric Talk Live, I just think that lots of young people don't even want to talk to their own family and friends on the phone, so it's
going
to make them way more nervous to talk to you,
yeah.
However many people are listening on the radio.
And it is nerve-wracking to call into talk radio. I get that. I still have the experience myself. If I call into talk radio, I still get like an adrenaline rush going. Even though I'm a professional talk radio broadcaster, and I do this every single night, pretty much.
And I don't think this next thing I'm going to say is a young people problem. It's an everyone in America problem, but it seems to me that less and less people have their own original thoughts. They're waiting for things to just be told to them, so it's like, why would they want to call in just
to
say
that... How can you defend an idea that's not
your own
really
idea?
Yeah.
And also,
we're all getting ideas from somewhere else, though, Bonnie. So, I mean, how many of us actually have original thoughts anyway?
It's worse than that, Ian. It's like, if you go to, like, a party in San Antonio and a quote-unquote current issue pops up, you'll hear the same thing said in the exact same phrasing.
Really?
Over and over again. Like, people are just like, you know, they say things like, I just don't think that a civilian should have a weapon like that. And you'll hear another person say it. And they'll be like, yeah, I just don't see, why do you need it? You don't need that for hunting. Yeah, I'm just saying, like, the exact same phrasing, whatever the current thing is.
I like the ones where there's, like, the man on the streets, and they go up to people, and it's people of all ages. It's not a young person thing, per se, but they'll give, like, a quote from Donald Trump, but they'll attribute it to Joe Biden. And they'll say, what do you think of what Joe Biden had to say here? And they'll, you know, give the quote, but it's actually Donald Trump's quote, or reverse, right? They'll do the reverse.
Yeah.
And then, of course, it's just, if the person's a Democrat, they're like, yeah, I agree with Joe Biden.
Wow. Or,
you know, if they're a Republican, they're like, screw that Biden, you know.
That just goes to show how similar those two are.
Right. They're not even like it goes to show what you're talking about. People don't think.
Yeah.
They're just, oh, it's my guy? Then it's a good quote.
Right?
Yep. They're not even processing what it was that was being said. So we're talking about the stress that Americans are feeling because of finances. And Bonnie, you have some suggestions. I want to get into this story that you have from the Foundation of Economic Education. 6 ideas or tips that somebody, give credit to the writer here, that this person is writing a story, they wanted to share with people financially. That if he could have known this, or she could have known this at age 18,
this is what he would have given himself.
Appreciate.
6 financial tips that I'd give my 18-year-old self, by John Miltimore from fee.org.
F-E-E. Let's hear it.
I sometimes wonder what it would be like if my 40-something year-old self talked to my 18-year-old self. I think I'd tell my younger self, congratulations, you didn't totally screw up. I say this because I've always feared failure. Wow, it's gotten deep all of a sudden.
I wonder where that came from.
Some people,
parents.
Yeah, it's parents being like, you know, too harsh on him when he messed something up, probably. Oh, you're doing that wrong. You're scrambling the eggs wrong. You know. Some people are afraid of heights or public speaking. I was always motivated by fear that I'd fail at important things. Fortunately, life has been pretty good to me, and I'm grateful for that. I have a happy marriage, 3 healthy children, a job I love, and a nice house to live in. We eat well and save well, take vacations every year, and soon we'll be debt-free. Does that mean I've done everything right? Hardly. On the contrary, I've made more than my share of mistakes on this journey called life than I care to admit, including plenty of financial ones. But that's life. We learn from mistakes, we make mistakes, and we hopefully learn from them. Sorry. Still, it doesn't mean you have to make my mistakes. I won't claim to have all the answers, but here's some financial takeaways I'd share with my younger self.
Yeah, you don't have to make the same mistakes that other people make. That's the nice thing about seeing other people make mistakes is hopefully you can learn from their mistakes without actually having to go through the difficulties yourself. Not everyone can do this. Not everyone can do this consistently, but it's good to try because it sucks to have to do that stuff all over again.
That's just the way that humans evolve. It's you don't have to reinvent the wheel when you're born and discover math because somebody already discovered math.
Right.
And you could just build upon whatever they're doing. The first thing he would tell his younger self is, one, take out smaller student loans.
I would say don't even bother with going to college. But let's hear it.
In case you didn't know, the whole student loan business is a mess. Like most people, I learned the hard way that loading up on student loans is great during college, but paying them off isn't nearly as fun. Sure, I needed the money. College is expensive. But I often took out more than I needed. I hadn't really thought about that kind of issue.
I wonder what he went to college for. It certainly can't be just writing for a website.
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't say in this paragraph. It says, you got a good interest rate, a friend told me. You can just invest what you don't spend, and you'll earn more on the interest than you'll pay on your loan. Maybe this advice was good, or maybe not. We'll never know because I didn't invest a penny of it. More on that later. But I did manage to go on spring.
Can you do that? I guess I don't know enough about college loans.
Right, I never took a college loan. The one semester I went to college, I just paid for it.
Right, like, are you allowed to just take that money and put it into Bitcoin or something like that?
Well, here's what he says. He says, maybe this advice was good, maybe not. We'll never know because I didn't invest a penny of it, but I did manage to go on spring break every year and probably spent a lot more money than I otherwise would have.
I guess they don't. I guess it's just a loan. They don't care what you do with it. That's weird.
It's not like they're going to have, like, your credit card didn't go through.
Well, yeah, I would figure they would look at your receipts and say, look, you didn't buy an actual college scholarship with this. You went into business or whatever. Is there no checking on college loans? Because
there's probably certain things. You could probably use food and,
I guess,
staying places, you know.
So I guess the reason why you wouldn't want to do that is because college loans are the kind of loans that you cannot bankrupt. And what I mean is, like, every other kind of loan is, I understand it. Again, I'm not a financial advisor. This is not financial advice. This is just what I've heard, is that if you go through bankruptcy, you can write off every loan you've ever gotten except for your college loan. That one you cannot just make go away. So that would be why you wouldn't want to just frivolously, you know, spend a college loan on spring break.
Why is that?
It's because the colleges have a special permission, basically. It's the government's loan. Well, I mean, you can get private college loans, but most of them are issued by the state.
Well, I'm not going to lie. That first one was a little weak.
That's pretty weak.
I mean, like, I would say don't take out a loan to go to college. Like, go when you can afford it if you need to go to college for the thing you want
to
do.
Yeah.
Or don't go to college if you don't need to go to college for the thing you're doing.
College is so devalued these days because so many people have college. AI, of course, is going to make it even harder to compete. But ultimately, what does somebody with a college degree actually bring to the table in the working world? What is it exactly? I mean, there's the mythology around it, which is, well, if you get a college degree, you can earn more money. Well, only if you have the loan paid off. And that presumes you're working in the field in which that you got the college degree for, which a lot of college degree recipients are not actually working in the field in which they have the degree. So what's the point of that? Now you're carrying all the costs and the debt of a college degree, but you're not working in the field. If you're not doing that, you're not making the maximum amount of money you presumably can make. And there's just so many people who have these degrees and they have hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt.
And it's like opportunity cost. If you can just go out from high school, start working, instead of 4 years later, I just got my actual job, making the money I could have been making, you know, right when you got out, if you just were smart enough about it, or at least like not too long after you got out. I mean, I don't know.
Right, you could live in that.
It's not the path I took either, but it's just like, I don't know, if I was a...
Well, you were smart enough to quit college.
Yeah.
But you could live. If you could have access to $200,000, and I don't know what a typical college, maybe it's only 50, I don't know, 50 to 200,000, whatever it is. Either way, if it's 50, if it's a cheaper college, you see, that's still a down payment on a house. You could live in that $50,000, and then you could have an easier life.
Not that you could do it with that student loan, but...
Apparently,
you can,
I don't know. Maybe you can do that with a student loan. Now, you probably wouldn't want to because you can't go bankrupt on it.
Yeah.
But anyway, Going on to number two.
Number two is always have a job in college. Except for my freshman year as an undergrad, I was pretty good about working lots of hours while I was in school. It helped that I liked my job and that I worked with my friends. Graduate school was a different matter. Apart from my teaching assistant position, which didn't require much work, I never had a job. I didn't think I needed one because a lot of my school was paid for, and this would allow me to study even more. This was a bad decision on my part.
Mm.
I would tell my younger self not to pass up an opportunity to have a steady income, even if it's a small amount. There are plenty of jobs out there that will allow you to study and make some money. Oh my God, you know what's a great job to have if you're somebody who needs to study?
Mm.
Doing a night audit position at a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you take care of a couple customers. You probably check in some stragglers, check out some early birds. And other than that, you're basically alone.
You can just sit there and read.
And you set the audit going on the computer. And yeah, you can just sit there and study.
But once again, I mean, this number two on this list here is about college. And I'm actually surprised because I would have expected Fee to be publishing an article critical of college. Instead, he's just kind of giving tips on, you know, being better financially in college. And it's not a bad suggestion. I mean, certainly if you're in college, you are going to be better off if you spend your free time working instead of partying. I mean, that's like, seems like an obvious one. But I guess a lot of people going to college need to be told this one because there is a strong social push from what it appears to go party all the time.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's... I don't think partying is a real good solution.
And one part that he's about to say in this paragraph that kind of like contradicts his whole like go to college part, he says, your job, whatever you choose, is likely to offer you some good experience and will keep you productive in addition to the money you get from it. And it's like, you could just be doing that, getting experience and moving up in something.
You could.
Instead of like wasting any time in college, but...
Yeah, and it goes back to what you suggested earlier, and that is, what are you looking to do? If you want to be a doctor or an engineer, then they're going to require you to have a college degree. But if otherwise you're looking at something else, then, yeah, you might just be able to work your way up.
And you know what? I already have a better tip than he's had so far.
Hmm.
You should talk to people who are doing the thing you want to do, because the reason I dropped out of school is literally because I talked to Chris Wade for a while. And I realized I should have talked to somebody who was already in IT,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, I don't know if you call him in IT, but he's in the general field, because he just told me, like, I'm basically wasting my time. I can learn that stuff on YouTube.
And he went to college.
Yeah. It really hit home because of the fact that I was going to go to community college in San Antonio physically, and then 2020 happened, and I was doing it all online. I was like, wow, I really could just be learning this for free on YouTube.
Yeah, there's a ton of tutorials and stuff like that that you can... Or at the very least, if you want to pay somebody to tutor you, it's way cheaper than going to college. There's more coming up here. 603-283-6160. We got four more, I think, tips on finances. More coming up.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA News Update. When it comes to the debt ceiling, the Biden administration thinks raising it is a no-brainer.
There shouldn't be negotiations on the debt limit. This is something that they should get to regular order and get to work on.
White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre says President Biden will make it clear tomorrow when he meets with congressional leaders that the debt ceiling must be raised with no conditions, just like they did three times for President Trump. Closing arguments have wrapped up in the civil rape trial against former President Trump. A lawyer for E. Jean Carroll told jurors his client was exactly Trump's type. Trump has denied any wrongdoing and claims Carroll made up the story to sell copies of her book. Jury deliberations will begin tomorrow. And Twitter accounts that haven't been active for several years are going to be purged. CEO Elon Musk said users may see a drop in their number of followers following that purge. John Schaefer, USA News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
This is Free Talk Live. You can join the show. Dean and Bonnie in the studio here tonight. The number is 603-283-6160. Bring up anything. Want to discuss. We've got a piece here from Foundation for Economic Education where the gentleman is expressing six things that he would tell himself if he were 18 years old and able to do it all over again. We got through the first two. We're going to continue on that list here. If you want to join the show, though, you can bring up anything. The number again, 603-283-6160. And also want to let you know about the upcoming conference this October, the Liberty in Our Lifetime Conference. Our very own Mark Edge is going to be attending and speaking at this conference as he did last year. It's in Prague, as it was last year, October 14th and 15th. And it's going to be focusing on the so-called free cities. They are going to be self-governing territories that uphold individual rights and freedoms. And representatives from projects in the U.S., Honduras, Germany, and Norway will be sharing updates on their progress and explain why you should consider moving to or doing business in a free city. And you can learn more over at libertyinourlifetime.org. You can use code FTL, and you'll save 10% on your tickets. That's libertyinourlifetime.org. Mark, again, is going to be speaking this year in Prague, October 14th and 15th. You can join him there, libertyinourlifetime.org. All right, Bonnie, let's continue on this list, which so far has been focusing on college-related things, which seems to me to be a little bit out of touch, considering that college is basically a waste of time and money, I think, for most people these days. But I guess for those that are still feeling like they need to go, his suggestions so far have been fine.
Like a good buffer for not losing too much money while you're going to college.
Yeah, like he said, get smaller college loans and
work
while you're in college.
So number three is invest every year. Investing is important. Yes, it's about making money, but there's no guarantee that will happen. But it's not just about money. It's also about developing discipline and accruing knowledge. Investing will teach you
accruing?
How... Accruing?
Accruing?
Yeah. I thought that's what I said. Investing will teach you how markets work and get you thinking about your long-term future.
Yeah, they sure as hell aren't going to teach you that in college.
Yeah. And this is another thing. It's like he mentioned getting real-life experience from working in college.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of dive into some things. But I know you can't just dive into investing if you don't have money.
Right. Yeah, you got to have money to potentially lose if you're going to invest it. So having some extra money around is a good thing for that.
Even if you have more money, it's you never invest more than you couldn't lose.
Well, you shouldn't invest more than you can afford to lose. There are definitely ways to do that, like taking out credit card loans or whatever and then investing it. Because if you lose, then you're in debt big time if you do that.
So I tell my younger self to start investing right away, even if it's a very small amount of your income. Maybe you'll make money, maybe not. But you'll definitely learn a lot. The discipline to hold, the cost of rash decisions, how to trade options on the fly. You'll get to experience bear markets and bull markets before you're heavily invested. This will prepare you for financial cycles, booms and busts, which may tempt you to dump your holdings in a bear market or jump into an overbought market because of FOMO. I did that with
Shiba.
Shiba, but also Doge.
Doge, yeah.
Shiba, I don't think I bought at the record high. Doge.
I think you did.
Really?
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah.
Because Elon Musk talked about it on SNL.
Yeah, it's so tempting to buy meme coins.
It's not like I spent like so much money. It was just like, wow, that's kind of crazy. I bought that at the all-time high.
Yeah. And if you had bought the Shiba at when it first came out, then you would have been a multimillionaire.
Yeah.
If you'd have spent $100 on Shiba in the earliest days.
My little brother made like, I think like $800 or something.
That's not bad.
Shiba, it was Doge. I don't remember.
But if you'd only spent a few, you know, a couple $100 or $100, you could have been a multimillionaire. But you have to be early in on meme coins like that. They're high risk. And usually by the time you hear about a meme coin, it's too late.
Yeah, and the majority of them out there, we've never heard of because they didn't do anything like Shiba Inu did.
Yeah,
so
who knows how many of these things are
the
total
untold
failures.
Majority of the ones that we have never heard of.
Right, and when you finally see the ones that take off, you're like, oh, of course that makes sense, right? Shiba Inu, it's like Doge. But there's a ton of other Doge
knockoffs. There's probably one called
knockoffs.
Like Girl Doge. You know, there's probably just like all kinds of little Doge knockoffs.
And you don't know which one of them's going to hit. And you know, I guess if you spent all your time buying all these little coins, maybe one of them would hit big and then it would be worth it for you. But I don't know. How many meme coin millionaires are there out there? There's probably a bunch that we just don't know.
Yep.
Anyway, I personally, you know, if it were me, and again, I'm not a financial advisor. This is not financial advice. But if I were to be getting into a cryptocurrency, I would want to have actually like some belief in the thing. Like, I like the idea of cryptos that are useful. Dash is a useful one. And, of course, Dash's DAO is sponsoring the show for 32 Dash per month. But we were talking about Dash before they were sponsoring the show. And because on this show...
Even when they were sponsoring before and then stopped sponsoring,
Dash
was still a topic
the
time.
Absolutely. Because it is a useful cryptocurrency.
We use it in real life.
Monero is another example of something we've talked about a lot on the air. Because it's useful. It's got a privacy aspect to it. That is the major aspect of Monero. And, you know, these are important ideas. These are ideas that could someday really become a big deal. They're not right now. You know, these are, like, not even in the top 10. There was a time when Dash was, like, number 2 on the list of cryptocurrencies. But it's been years since it's been that high.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, will it be in the top 10 again? I certainly hope that it will. But either way, it is out there and it's actually useful. So to me, if you're not actually into the concept, the idea, the technicals behind the cryptocurrency, then just, you know, buy Bitcoin and hope that it goes up in price. If that's what you're doing, if you're trying to invest for like an actual reason rather than just chasing the latest trend, then try to learn something about the coins that you're getting into. You don't have to be a programmer, but try to actually get some idea of what's going on. Get some idea of what makes one coin or another different. Now, of course, he's talking about
Just in investing altogether.
Yeah, he's talking about stocks and bonds and, you know, the whole thing.
He might be talking about crypto, too. He didn't say
he didn't specify, but, you know, he was talking about bear markets and all this stuff. It sounds like he's talking about just investing in, you know, sort of in general. And there, of course, your mileage may vary. When you're investing in these regulated marketplaces, you're dealing with government controls. And, you know, as we've seen with some of these stocks, the stock market people will come in and they'll just freeze the markets.
Yep.
They'll freeze you and you can't sell when you think you can sell. You can't buy
like,
when you want to buy.
Robinhood, when the actual app was like freezing people's accounts because
sure.
of, I don't know, some kind of shorts.
Yeah, there was all kinds of shenanigans
GameStop
going on.
Thing.
So that's not to say there aren't shenanigans in the crypto world either. You do have to buyer beware and you need to do your research. But what he's pointing out is if you're 18 and you've got some money to play with because you're working a job while you're in college or whatever, then that's a great time to be doing research and experimenting and learning the hard way in a lot of cases. So I don't disagree with that one.
All right, number four I think is a little weird just based on the heading. I would think that this is not a good thing, but he says, number four, don't buy the dip in bear market. Isn't buying the dip good? Speaking of investing, you'll sometimes hear an expression, buy the dip. This is a simple and common investment tactic. Instead of buying stocks at their peak, buy them in the valley, the thinking goes. I mean, of course, you'll never be able to predict that, so I could see that that would be why he would say that, mm-hmm. but I also wouldn't just tell someone, don't buy the dip. Do not buy the dip. I don't know, it's just kind of weird. It seems simple, just like buy low, sell high.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's written there. Buying the dip can be a great strategy in a bull market if you know what you're doing, but buying the dip in a bear market is a disastrous one. Don't assume that buying a stock at $50 is a good deal because you love the company and it was selling at $100 last week or $150 two weeks ago. All fundamentals aside, and you should know the fundamentals of a company if you're looking to purchase shares, just kind of
sure.
like what you were
yeah.
saying about crypto. If you're in a bear market, that stock could just as easily hit $10 before $150, as many traders saw the last couple years. You might have thought you were getting a steal buying Zoom shares during the rallies in 2021 when they dipped to $295, $255, and $183. After all, the stock was trading at $560 in October 2020, and mm-hmm. the company has a bright future. The problem was, the stock market was entering a bear cycle, and Zoom, just like hundreds of other growth stocks, just kept sliding once it became clear the Federal Reserve was going to begin raising interest rates. Today, Zoom is trading at about $61 a share.
Oof.
Wow. So that'd be terrible if you bought it at $295, like you said.
Yeah, and that is it's essentially this game that people are playing, trying to catch the falling knife or whatever as you want to call it. You don't know when this thing's actually going to stop going down, and there's no guarantee that it's ever going to go back up to reach its previous high. So like, it's all just a risk.
The only thing that I gotta say is different about cryptocurrency than like these stocks he's talking about is, I really believe that maybe with Bitcoin being the exception. At any time you're buying one of the, like, good big cryptos that you believe in, you're still pretty early in. Like, 5 years from now, I think that you'll probably end up making money. Like, my little sister happened to buy Bitcoin on my advice in 2021, and it's only gone down since then. But she's not worried about it, and I'm not worried about it, because don't feel like that's the highest it's ever going to be. I just think Bitcoin is, or crypto is different than stocks in that way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well,
like,
it's definitely
you're
different.
You're early in. I mean, Bitcoin was invented. The first cryptocurrency was invented in 2009.
Mm-hmm. That's
so
right.
It's like, it's not the same thing as stocks. So
it is hard, though, to.
Especially since buy the dip is a like crypto term. That's
I don't
why
know.
I'm
is it a crypto thing or is it just something they adopted?
Maybe.
I don't know. But, you know, it's hard to look at what's happening with Bitcoin right now and see a bright future for it, though. I mean, I want to believe that Bitcoin's going to hit $100,000 and then $1 million. I mean, that'd be great for everybody holding on to Bitcoin.
Well, the thing is, like, I don't think that this situation we're in, it irritates us because we want to be able to, we want cryptocurrency to be what it was intended, but I don't think it's going to make people stop valuing Bitcoin because the majority of people value Bitcoin for number go up. The majority of people value Bitcoin for quote-unquote digital gold, and I think that this will be corrected, and I don't think the price is going to terribly suffer. I don't think people are really going to lose interest, because the average person who has Bitcoin is not going to the Mining with Smart and buying lunch with it.
That's true. Maybe you're right about that.
But
moving on.
There's also other ones. Okay, number five. Attack high interest debt. One of the first things I got after landing my first real job was a credit card. I used it for almost everything I bought, but I always paid the balance at the end of the month.
Okay, that's good.
That meant I didn't have to pay interest on my balance, which is good because credit cards have really high interest rates.
Right.
The average interest rate on a credit card is 22% in 2023, according to the Wallet Hub, and that's high. That doesn't mean I didn't run up debt in other places. There were car payments and, as mentioned, student loans. But I tell myself not to be shy about attacking debt, especially if the interest rate is relatively high. What's attacking debt?
Paying it off? Down. Yeah. Definitely something that should be done at some point. Sooner rather than later.
In fact, attack it aggressively and start with the debt with the highest interest rate first.
Sense? This seems obvious, but I mean, some people need to be told the obvious.
Yep. I messed this up in my 20s. My student loan payments seemed too high when I was done with all my school. Instead of tightening my belt, I adjusted my payment plan, lowering my monthly payment from $450 to $250.
But that would extend the term, right?
Yep, and the interest.
So you're paying more in interest over time.
This was a terrible idea and cost me lots of money in the long run. I could have simply golfed a bit less and stayed out of bars a little more.
Right.
Later in life, I made a similar mistake. While we took advantage of those low interest rates in 2020 and refinanced the mortgage, 2.62%, baby, I should have attacked other debts harder. So when you have an opportunity to pay off debt with marginally high interest rates, do it.
Yep. This is pretty basic financial advice, but like I said, some people need to hear this. And maybe they need to hear it again.
Well, I mean, when I was in my 20s, I had a store card that ended up getting out of control because I was just paying the
minimum?
Minimum.
Oops. Yeah, that's another thing you don't want to do.
So I think lots of people need to hear that type of thing.
But they don't teach you about credit cards in government school.
Nope.
They didn't teach me. They didn't teach you. They probably don't teach anyone about how these things work. If you're paying the minimum, you're never going to pay it off. If you keep adding to it, right? Like if you keep spending on the credit card, you will max the credit card out eventually and you will never pay it off because you're just going to be paying interest the whole time and you'll never actually pay down the principal on it. And that's what they want you to do. I mean, these companies want people to be in debt. That's their whole reason to exist, essentially.
Yeah, I used to be honestly very confused about why credit cards even existed in like high school because I would just think like, yeah, you pay it off. You get free money, but why? Why do they want to do that? You know, I didn't know why. What would be the credit card company's incentive?
There's two sides. There's the fees that they collect from the point of sale, so from the merchants. So even if you pay on time every month, which is the financially responsible way to have a credit card, they're still making money on you. They're just getting it from the merchant. Whereas if you don't pay on time, if you pay a portion of the bill, then they hit you with the interest. And then they make a lot more off of you.
Number six, I got to say, is probably the best one.
All right, I'm ready.
Number six is drink less, especially in bars.
Yes, this is excellent advice. And it's a great advice for a young person, right?
Yes.
Because this is something that young people are doing since years before they turn 21. They're not drinking in bars, but they are drinking.
Sometimes they're drinking in bars.
And then it's like when they turn 21, then they graduate to drinking in bars because they've been drinking at home, drinking with their friends, you know, high school
getting
pub
other
parties.
People to buy them drinks, right. Things like that. And now they're drinking in a bar with dancing and people and smoking.
Which is honestly probably still, it's probably cheaper to actually get somebody, if you're in high school, to pay somebody to buy your beer for you and drinking it at home. It's probably cheaper that way than actually going to a bar and drinking.
Yeah, because all the drinks are way more expensive than from the grocery store.
Yeah.
So this might sound moralizing, but it's not. I like like bars, at least I used to, and I still like a good drink on occasion. Beer, wine, whiskey, you name it. When I say drink less in bars, I'm speaking in a strictly financial sense here, though there are certainly other good reasons to avoid bars.
Mm-hmm.
You can spend a lot of money in bars, especially if you like to drink.
Yep.
Absolutely. And the thing about it is you're in an inebriated state, so you're not really considering how you're going to feel about it tomorrow. You're not considering how much money you really should be spending. You're just like, yeah, sure, oh my God, let's do it.
And you're not considering how much you've already spent in your in the last year on alcohol.
Oh yeah.
Right. And this comes back around to something we were just talking about earlier with the Americans being stressed out about their money situation. What is one thing a lot of people who are under stress do?
Drink.
They drink. They self-medicate. And so, of course, without realizing it, maybe they're actually making their problem worse. And that's what, of course, he's referring to here. And in his case, he was spending his college loans
going
to bars.
It's hurting your... I hate to make it about anything other than financial when that's what the article's talking about, but it's hurting your brain cells, and it's a depressant. It's making you depressed. Makes you feel like, what's the point? I'd rather just be partying than, you know, being financially responsible and doing things that are less fun.
Right. It's going to make you fat, too.
And it definitely makes you fat.
Mm-hmm.
The only time I've ever been fat was I was drinking the most of my life.
It's going to make you fat. It's going to give you a red face eventually.
Yeah. It can give you a permanently bloated looking face.
Yeah. It's
like
just
cocaine.
Not a winning idea.
Well, he says, I won't tell you to stop drinking, lest I make myself a hypocrite. But that's the top advice of Iman Gadzhi, the millionaire YouTube sensation, in his recently published video, 7 Money Tips for Teenagers to Make $1 Million, which already has more than 2 million views. The first step, if you want to become a millionaire, is to stop drinking, says Gadzhi.
That's good advice.
You can see for yourself the reasons Gadzhi offers this advice. And while I don't endorse his abstemiosis, abstemious view, I would definitely tell my younger self to drink less and spend less time in bars if you're serious about building a sound financial future. Definitely.
Yeah, an ex of mine years ago, rest in peace, she had a good idea that I ran with for many years, which was two or too much, meaning that if you've had two drinks, you've hit your limit. And whatever we're talking about, 2 glasses of wine, 2 beers, 2 shots, that would be the maximum amount of alcohol that you should have. And the reason for this rule was not just financial. Obviously, that would help from a financial standpoint. Like if you feel like you cannot give up alcohol, if you feel like the social aspect of it is just too beneficial in your social circles and you have to continue drinking, then restrict your consumption to an amount that is affordable and is not going to get you drunk and is not as likely to harm you as badly as drinking 3, 4, 5 shots or whatever. So keeping it limited. And the idea was that, as you pointed out, Bonnie, when you're drinking, you're not as likely to make good decisions. You may forget how many you've had, right? Like if you keep drinking, you wouldn't be able to answer that question.
Sincerely stop caring. Like me and my friend who we used to drink when we were like 20 at her mom's house, we would always we would tell ourselves, I don't want to get as drunk as yesterday, seriously. So we would write notes that just said, Bonnie and Safira, I shouldn't have said her name. It's not really fair, but do not drink more than, you know, X amount of whatever we were going to drink. And then I can't even tell you how many times it was just so funny to us to literally
just
burn it or rip it up and be like, let's drink more. Because we were just already drunk at that point.
Bad, Bonnie.
It was really bad. Well, I was 20 and I didn't know how to drink except to get like blackout drunk every single time.
So sad.
Yeah.
But that was the idea, was if it was two or too much, then you cannot forget two. Right? Like, by the time when you order your second drink, you know you've just finished your first drink.
And you're probably not, like, already drunk. Like, one thing me and my friend were doing was probably setting our minimum too high. Because we're, like, drunk, and we're deciding to listen to sober selves and saying no.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's the reason why. And it worked out pretty good.
And that's the thing, like, back then, I understand why I was doing that. Because it was fun to me in the moment. But now, I think about it, and I just can't even imagine wanting to be that way. And when I try to talk to, like, my little brother, I'm always telling him, like, just don't...
Who's, like, 22 or something, right?
Yeah. I try to tell him, like, just don't get drunk. Just drink, but don't get drunk. And he just can't do it. Why would you do that?
Yeah.
I guess I don't... It's not like he says those words, but it's like he just seems to get drunk every time he drinks.
Mm.
And one thing I would tell young men is that women don't find that attractive. Like, I've never thought it was, like, fun
a
or cool
guy.
For a man to be drunk at all.
Yeah, I mean, the person is losing control, right? Like, that's ultimately what you're going to do. The more drunk that you get, the less control you're going to have, whether it be your motor control, being able to stand up or walk or hold your bladder or whatever, you're going to lose that.
And I don't think guys like
that's
it
embarrassing.
When girls are doing it either, but I'm just saying.
No, I mean, how is that attractive, right? Like, some girl who thinks she's pretty is barfing on you or something, you know, or whatever. Let's continue here with your calls and thoughts. Have you got some suggestions for young people? And again, these are not just, even though he's saying this is for, you know, 18-year-old me, this could still apply to a 30-year-old me or a 40-year-old me, somebody who's still following some of these bad habits. You're on Free Talk Live, caller. What's your name?
This is Peter from California.
Hi, Peter. What's on your mind tonight?
Hey. Well, I'm glad Bonnie is in, because she was talking the other night. She was talking about how she was addicted to Kratom and give her a little old man advice. This comes from a 40-year addict. I've been through, you know, heroin and alcohol and everything, meth. And, the Kratom is really dangerous. I mean, I started doing Kratom just because, you know, to get off, and it actually did relieve my tendencies to go towards other drugs.
Hmm.
But next thing you knew, I was doing 20, 25 pills at a time.
Whoa.
Yeah.
And so withdrawal from it can be really rough.
How quick did you go from, you know, a few pills? Like, I presume you started with like 4 or 5 or something pills. How quick did it take to get to 20 to 25?
Probably took me within a month.
Whoa. Okay. Peter, can you hang on? I want to bring you back here.
Those are usually about like 500 milligrams. So
stand by. Kratom, by the way, for people that don't know, this is it's like a relative of the coffee plant,
yeah.
If I recall correctly.
It's like a tea.
And we'll talk more with Peter about his experience here in a moment. The number is 603-283-6160. You can bring up anything. You can share your thoughts with us. Hour number 3 is on the way. This is Free Talk Live.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.